So tonight I'm talking to you. We are starting a series on righteousness. Which is a major subject. I want us to read a scripture from Hebrews chapter 5, the verse number, let's start from the verse number 12 to 13. Hebrews chapter 5, the verse number 12 to 13. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, listen to it very careful. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again. You have need that somebody had to come and teach you how to do quiet time again. Still, up to now, Saltry, we have to call you to come to church. Still, up to now, Fee, we have to tell you to read your Bible. Still, we have to teach you. We have to still call upon you. Still, up to now, we have to let you know that your meeting times with the Lord is sacred and nothing must be replaced with it. Still, up to now, we have to let you know that you must learn to be holy because the Lord is what? Holy. Still, up to now, we have to teach you certain things. But by now, we are trying to see, the Bible is trying to say that by now, Saltry should have about 12 disciples. You are discipling. You are coming to church. You have souls that are following you. People who tease you and they become very excited. They are happy because somebody that is mentoring them in the way of the Lord has come. When Paul met the Lord on the road of Damascus, God knows how important discipleship and mentorship is. So he sent Barnabas to go and really do what? Disciple him. So Barnabas was the one that discipled him. Barnabas was the one that introduced him to the apostles. It gave him introduction. Otherwise, they wouldn't have accepted him. Somebody must introduce you. Somebody, you see, your company with the person gives us confidence that you are right. See you working with Pastor Mike, I begin to have more confidence in you. But if I don't see you with Pastor Mike, I relate to you according to your past. So sometimes we are Christians, but when we are in church, the fellowships we keep actually tells us who we are. And you may not understand. And that is why you are not able to grow. Why is this one your friend and this one is not your friend? Why are you? There are some people that are so secular. When you read the book of the Bible talks about the fact that from such, he said, do what? Take away from the people that have a form of godliness but deny their power. He said, stay away from such. When you continue to read, it talks about the fact that they pray on the weak. Such people, they pray on the weak in the church. So they see people who are weak among us, new converts that have come to church, and by the time you realize, they are slaying them, giving them different doctrines and making them fall and backslide. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So the Bible is telling us that there is a time for us. It is time. When we look at ourselves, by now we are supposed to be teachers. We are supposed to be mentors. We are supposed to be leading, discipling people. We are supposed to be teaching people how to cast out devils. We are supposed to be teaching people how to be righteous, how to be holy. We are supposed to be holding people's hand and praying 3 hours, 4 hours, 5 hours. By now, we must be teaching people how to fast 3 days, 14 days. Some of you have been here since you got born again. You have never fasted 7 days on your own. Never fasted 7 days on your own. The Bible is saying that for when for the time ye ought to be fasting, ye still need somebody to fast for you. That's what the Bible is saying. You still need somebody to be fasting for you. You still need somebody to be teaching you. You still need, some of you have been, even some of us pastors, we have never cast out the devil before. We need to by now that if it is KSS time and Pastor David is not here, somebody must covenantly step in and begin to share the word of God because you are so alive from your quiet time seasons, from your time with message, listening to message, when you hold it. It's not, we are not in competition. We are doing complementation. That pastor is teaching about righteousness. You also come and you say, I'm also adding. The Lord gave me a revelation on the fruit of righteousness. And then you are teaching. You are also adding something. You are also catching something. And then we are building the complete body. Are you following what I'm trying to say? But you are always waiting for somebody to teach you. And that is a sign that you are not ready. You are not really growing. So he said that you ought to be teachers. Ye have need that one teach you again. Which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and have become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. So looking at the timing, 15 years with Christ, 2 years, 6 months in the Lord. What are you talking about? Can you imagine that a man got born again And within 3 days, he had a miracle of opening of the eye. Since you got born again, have you seen some before? Paul, who was a murderer, got born again, and in 3 days had gone through fasting, 3 day fasting, prayer and fasting, dry fasting, 3 days. He got born again yesterday. He started fasting same day. The following day, no food. The next day, no food. And he was just praying. And he was blind. And he was praying blind. And he was praying. And God sent Barnabas. And when Barnabas came and laid hands upon him, now his eye got opened. Such a miracle. That dimension, have you reached there before? When you got born again, some of you have not fasted. Even 3 days, you've never fasted for yourself. There are certain things, mysteries of God, that you can never come to you until you are diligent and disciplined with the practices of the Spirit. Otherwise, forget. Certain things, the Bible said that this ones goeth not, but by what? Fastings and so certain results in the Christian walk, you will never see them until you are aligned to what? Fastings and what? Prayer. Are you following what I'm trying to say? You can never see them. I'm telling you, there are certain communications that no matter what, look, I will never do it until I'm strongly intimate with my wife inside the secret place. That so there are certain deep things God will never come to you and release them to you. You are too public for him. So the Bible says that when you are praying, learn how to even go to the secret place. And he says something. He said that your father that sees his secret will give you what? An open reward. So you should understand certain principles. You will never see certain miracle. You will never see certain results. You will never see certain height. As a church, there is a certain price we must pay to see an overflow. Until we come there, those things will never be handed over to us. Paul started speaking about being a steward of grace. How did he become a steward of grace? He paid a price. He paid a price. So you need to be teachers. But now you are being taught. Why should it be so? And for the past 2 years, look at what he said. And he said, let me come to, okay. And I become such as. The word such as. What he's trying to say is that in actual fact, you are not supposed to look as you are looking. But you are looking, and the word such as means that it's a simile. And the word simile means you are comparing two things. Is that not it? Literature devices. Simile means what? You are comparing two things. Ah, Kwabna, and I will be able, why are you not a kola? That means that what you are doing, you see, I expect more from you because you have been around for far long. You have sat under the word of God. You have sat in the church. Your hands have been laid upon you. You have been taught. You have been prayed for. You have been anointed. You have been called for devotion. You have been carried to camp meeting. You have been carried to, crusades. And by now, there are certain things that you are doing. We expect you not to do it. Why are you behaving such as him? So he's trying to tell you that we are still behaving as we still need milk. Who are the people that need milk? He said, as newborn babies, desire the sincere milk of the world. So having compared you to such people that need milk, meaning that since you got born again, you have not graduated from babyhood. What happened? What happened? Are you following? You need to have strong, you need to be feeding on strong meat by now. Strong meat. So I'm not expecting that I pick a phone and call. Sabri, are you not coming to church? Charlie, it's a long time I saw you in church. Why are you not coming to church? Sabri, why is that? No, I'm expecting to call you and ask you, Charlie, how many shows are you coming with? Charlie, what happened? Oh, Charlie, come, I make clear some more because I go pick some shows. I charter taxi, make some 5 people, they come, but I'm right there. Right now, you should be chewing certain meat. You should not be drinking milk. That's what the Bible is saying. You should not be drinking milk. And then he says something. The next 13, look at what he said. He said, this is happening because for everyone that uses milk, he said, it's unskillful. Unskillful in what? In the word of what? Righteousness. He's unskillful in the word of what? Righteousness. For he is what? A babe. That means that one indication that a person is matured is the fact that he is skillful in handling the word of God, righteousness. Not preaching it. The truth is that your maturity Your preaching is never an indication of your maturity. Listen to me very careful. Your prayer is not an indication of your maturity. Your preaching is not an indication of your maturity. And I'm telling you, your fastings are not indication of your maturity. Your ability to cast out devils are not indication of your maturity. Don't mistake the fact that you said come out and somebody is coming out that you have matured. No way. This is the reason why people get born again today. They have towels in their neck and they want to prophesy. They are doing this and they are messing up and they are misbehaving and they are creating each confusion in the body of Christ. Why? Because they are not mature, but they are operating the gift of God. The gifts, listen to me, can be given to you to serve a purpose. To serve a purpose. When it comes to maturity, the accurate judgment of maturity, number one, is the bearing of the fruit of righteousness. The fruit of the Spirit. Fruit is the proof that a tree has grown. And the Bible is giving us another indication. Your ability to handle the word of what? Righteousness. So that, I was just thinking in my office right now, before I came here, how Ghanaian musicians write, the Christian musicians write songs compared to the Nigerian musicians. I realized that the Nigerian musicians seems to have moved into another level. And right now, almost every Ghanaian church is a Nigerian church because we sing Nigerian songs. Are we also not reading the Bible? Why are they able to catch certain mysteries and we are not able to? The word of righteousness. And this is why we are looking at the subject of righteousness. It's a series. So I'm not rushing. I want you to understand everything. Hallelujah. The word of righteousness. Some of you, when we talk about righteousness, you don't even know what it is. How much more live it? How much more express it? The word of righteousness. You don't know what righteousness does. Your understanding of righteousness builds up your faith. It builds up your faith. Gives you very strong faith. Gives you very strong faith. And it's a foundation upon which many, 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 many virtues, manifestations of God, God's nature, God's essence, can be believed. Nobody can believe the love of God until he's been able to get strong on the message of what? Righteousness. Hallelujah. What a blessing it is. Now, when we talk about righteousness, what do we mean? I want to just open up certain things. My focus is to reach to the place and talk about the benefits of righteousness, just to whet your appetite so that you have desire. Okay, then how then do I become? Then we begin to travel on those pedestrians. Then teach you the fruit of righteousness, the works of righteousness. We begin to travel on those, the legalities of righteousness. You have to know all those things. Be strong. Hallelujah. Be strong. The first thing you must understand is that righteousness is the gift. It's a gift. It's a gift from God. It's a gift to you from God. Righteousness is a gift to you from God. And what it means is that when we say righteousness, what it means is your right standing with God. Your right standing with God. Your right standing with God. So righteousness actually tells what you have become. I say righteousness tells what? What you have become. Number two, righteousness tells where you are. Righteousness tells what? Where you are. So righteousness depicts your position and righteousness depicts your possession, what you have become, what you have, you carry now. Right, that is before God. All this is in reference before God. Righteousness. Righteousness. Right standing with God. What it means is that to stand before the Lord and never feel guilty. Some of you, when you begin to pray, you see, when you begin to pray, you feel guilty because you feel like, Charlie, you are not perfect. God, you know that I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. Lord, I'm here. I'm a sinner. You have to have mercy on me. Some of you have never prayed beyond certain level. God, forgive me. God, give me. You have never, your prayer topic had never gone beyond that. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? You have never said, Lord, I command. It has never come from your mouth. Every day, Lord, please forgive me. Father, give me my daily bread. Lord, give me, forgive me, give me. Anybody that is give me, give me, give me, give me is a baby. So, baby Christians are always, their prayer topics are, God forgive me, God give me, Lord forgive me, Lord give me. Every day they open their mouth, it's either they are asking for forgiveness or they are asking for God to give them something. Because they are not able to grow past the place where by faith they can command things to do what? To be. Yeah. You should grow and come to the place. To have a right standing with God is to be a believer without guilt. Do you understand it? To be a believer without guilt. Stand before the Lord without guilt. Stand in prayer without guilt. You know, you have come to a place, you know, you believe that truly the work that Jesus did on the cross, he did it for you. He did it for you. Now, and what happened is that when we talk about righteousness, it is actually being positioned to be accepted by God. Do you understand it? It is actually being what? Positioned to be accepted by God as Jesus. Being positioned to be accepted by God as Jesus. So you are not another righteous person who has been brought. You have been made to stand before God as Jesus. So when you stand before God, you are praying, you are asking something, or you are negotiating, you take the word of God and you are reading. God sees you as Jesus. God sees you as what? As Jesus. So if Jesus cannot be sucked by God, it is your righteous manifestation that God will not suck you. Being brought to that point. And how was that done? By Jesus coming to die for us. The Bible says when he died, we died with him. When he was buried, we were buried with him. And when he resurrected, we came up with him. So we were one with him in death, in burial, and in what? And resurrection. And if it is so, then in glorification we shall be one with him. So we stand before the Father and he sees us just as he sees what? Jesus. He died in our place. What it means is, you see, when it comes to this subject, many Christians are confused about it. Even many pastors are confused about it. For Jesus to die in our place does not mean that. What it means is that, let me demonstrate. Pastor Mike is owing Reverend. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? And then I come and I say, how much is he owing you? And then he tells me, take your this thing. When you look at Pastor Mike, can you tell Pastor Mike he's owing you again? He's not owing you again. So though I paid it, I'm a free man. You see, I came here, took his place, and said, I am taking the debt right now. And so you wanted to deal with me, and you dealt with me, but I had the capacity, and I paid you off. So what it means is that Pastor Mike had never sinned against you before. Why? Because I took his place in the first place. And to hold me up that I'm a sinner, I have paid you off. So me too, I am not what? A sinner. So we and Jesus have become one. So whatever he is, we are. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? So you need to understand this. This is why being born again is so important. So, so important. Because, you see, to be born again is to accept what he did. Accept what he did. And the moment you accept it, and then you say, I receive it. What you are trying to tell him that, I'm grateful you did it. I believe it. I receive it. And then by faith, the Bible says, it is by grace through what? Faith. The acts of salvation and redemption is the grace of God in manifestation. And the reception of the grace is by faith. It is by grace and it goes through faith that we are what? Saved. So the Bible says that, and without faith, it's impossible to please God. When it comes to working with God, you can never be successful without faith. You can never be successful. What it means is that, you don't need to see, sincerely, you can't see and you can't understand. Why? Because these are transactions in dimensions far beyond human understanding. So if you try to understand, what does it mean that Jesus has come to die? He didn't sin. How did he pay? What happened? You can never understand. You can never understand. Why do I have to pray Lebagaba and I say there's a God somewhere who is answering? The transaction is too high for your mind to understand. The only way to have ability to receive it is to believe. That's all. And that's what we call faith. Having seen yet believe. So you say what? Faith is the substance of things. What? I'm hoping for something. The prayer I'm doing, Kila Badwada, is the evidence of the things. Because I believe that there is something. That's why I'm still praying. If I hope, only hope, I hope, oh, Jale, things will be fine. I'll not do anything. If I believe, if I'm acting by faith, okay, if I take an offering and then I move forward and I say I'm sowing a seed, that is why the world will be confused about tithing. They'll be confused about seed sowing. They'll be confused about righteousness. They'll be confused. Why? Because the transaction is too high for human mind to what? Understand. It is by faith. It is by faith. It is by faith. For without faith, it's impossible to please God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Without faith, it's impossible to do what? To please God. So prayer is an act of faith. You understand it? It's not an act of hope. My desire to ask God, listen, my desire to ask God, my wishes, my prayer topic, they are evidence of hope. Okay? But when I take the prayer topic and I begin to pray, Marokobo Shabrandi Sataya Lekomandi Akapadu Akata, then what I'm trying to do is that whatever I'm hoping for, I believe there is a God who hears me when I speak and he's hearing me, and therefore I'm adding accents to what I believe, and because I believe, I'm doing it, and that accent is an act of what? Faith. And when God sees that, he said that now faith is Hebrews 11. Let's digress a little. It's not a digression because I can't teach righteousness without faith. Now faith is, said, the substance of things hoped for. It was a hope to marry. But as I open my mouth, Katala, Lord, I receive. You have said that it is not good for a man to be alone. And therefore I receive revelation to be able to locate whoever. That thing I'm doing is the substance of the things hoped for. Then you realize, I said, then it becomes what? The evidence. That is the evidence of things what? Not seen. I have not seen it, but I'm adding an evidence that truly, truly I will see. That is why I'm praying. Do you get what is happening here? So when it comes to righteousness, you can never call yourself righteous without faith. Why? Because righteous, first as a sinner, you don't align with God. But Jesus died. And dying for you, and you receiving the work of redemption. The work of redemption. Maybe we have to one day talk about the ABCDs of salvation. Then you will understand. Because many of you are believers and praying, look at that, you are praying. You don't understand what you are doing. You don't even know justification. When you say justification, you don't understand. You don't know glorification. You don't know salvation. You don't understand anything. You are just going. Just like that. You need it. You need these foundations. And that's when Satan cannot confuse you. When we say that by his stripes, I am healed. Do you know what you are saying? Do you know what you are saying? Why are you still sick? I confess. Even the faith for confession, you don't. Listen to me. Faith builds on knowledge. The strength of faith is connected to the revelation for the faith. So he said, faith cometh by what? And hearing cometh by what? The word of God. So without the knowledge of the word, you can't build faith. Faith is not akasi. It's not akasi. Vim. Faith is not vim. Chale, vim, you go be. Chale, if you don't go be, cry, go be. You go be. Anfa krebefa. Hey, ebefa. Based on what revelation are you traveling?
What a blessing.
Based on what revelation? The word believe is what becomes flesh. Based on what revelation are you traveling? You have said, a woman stood before me and said, God, you have said, none shall be barren. This womb will bring forth. It was my own daughter. Help me, Hannah. I said, this one will bring forth. There shall not be miscarriage. I said, this is the last time she has given birth. The strength of the word based on revelation. This is why, as a believer, you see, when you understand some of these things, it will not be a struggle to leave the word of God. Though you wake up in the morning, the first thing you look for is the Bible. You don't learn it because you it's as a panacea just to heal your guilt. And that's why I can Bible. Nothing works for you. One day I told myself, I cannot imagine Jesus Christ sitting in the exam hall chewing his pen, confused of the next answer. I can never fail an exam again. And that was all. Revelation. Based on revelation. Based on revelation. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? So he has died for you based on revelation. I believe it. And therefore I receive you as my Lord and person. That act is an act of faith. And it is yours. That's all. As simple as that. It was too simple for the Catholic Church to believe it in those days. And that was how Martin Luther them came out. The Protestant started betting because they felt they have to pay a certain price. No, it is too simple. Faith makes things easy. But believing is difficult to do. People don't know. If you're able to believe, it will be easy to receive. That's all. But to believe, to overcome the flesh, the conditions that are staring at you, the things that makes it impossible. There are things buried in me. All these temples, they were buried in me. They were there. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? There's a story building coming up here. It is buried here. And sometimes I sit back and I look at the place, the way the place is accurate. You can take pictures of the place. But I give a few years, you will come and if you see three-story buildings there. It is there. I keep the imagination, keep believing. The God that told me, I will build this with you. He's the same one that giving me back in. Faith. I don't do things with money. I do it with what? Faith. By faith. Faith cannot be ashamed. It's like I'm preaching on faith. You can't teach righteousness without faith. It's the truth. I'm telling you. Because when it comes to righteousness, it's purely faith. It's by faith. The Bible says, anything done without faith is sin. So sin is not just fornication. Sin is not just stealing. It's not just gossiping. The moment you live a faithless life, you have stepped into what? Sin. I'm not coming to church. Why? Because I don't have money. I didn't pay my tithe because Missy can't show. I can't answer me. You are living a sinful life. God forgive us. It's not only you, it's forgiving all of us. All of us. How many of you continue sinning? Some people are here talking about people who are fornicated, people who have whatever. But you are a sinner. You don't pay tithe. You don't. You chop the tithe intentionally. You put your arm rubber. Oh, your arm rubber. But I'm not gonna be sorry about calling you. Me go catch that by the way. I love you. Who the only two? Everybody be them. Where who be answering from here? People they need pampu na mlele. Nyang kopo. The two are crossing the corner. Yes. What a shock. Divine AI. I've used divine AI to escape Angel Michael. Dodge Gabriel. Hey, God. Hey, God. You say what? Bring the money. Bring the money. So if the money too is not plenty, 200 Ghana. Because the last time they gave you 2,000. Just 200 Ghana. My friend, you want me to go chop 1,008. Make you add the 200. I go shoot your head. God to know the one problem. Say, my brother, take it and go. Take it and go. This is the problem. Faithlessness. You can't just believe that God can take care of you. I have to chop them all day. Hey. May the Lord have mercy on you. You can't please God. You can't stand right. You can't stand right without faith. So righteousness cannot be if you can't believe. I think that's strong. Righteousness cannot be if you cannot believe. If you cannot believe. Romans 14, 23. For without faith is not... For whatever is not from faith is sin. So righteousness is a gift. You didn't work for it. That's something you must know. You didn't work for it. Do you understand it? You are not the one that died. You are not the one that was on the cross, crucified. Jesus did it. And he said, you know, I did it. I'm giving you my place. Jesus said what? I'm giving you my place. I'm taking your place. So he gifted you what makes God accept him. So first of all, you have the gift of what? Righteousness. So righteousness is first a gift. The day you accepted Jesus Christ, you were declared before God righteous. That's what you must know. Beloved, it is one of the greatest truth and greatest revelation that you must believe. Pray until it settles down. You are not an ordinary person. You are not an ordinary person. You were declared righteous. You were declared what? Righteous. It means that God smiled on you. He looked down upon you. He looked down to you and smiled. Wow. Tell you what, how he will be happy about Jesus is the same way he's feeling about you. He feels so proud about you. How he responds to Jesus is the same way. Don't you remember how much joy flooded your heart when you became born again, and how you felt like God was just close, just with you? Righteous. Why are you not feeling that now? And that's why we are here. That's why we are doing this topic. Righteous. See, I'm the righteousness. Now listen to me. You are not just, listen to me, you are not just gifted with the gift of righteousness. You also ended up becoming the righteousness of God. Do you know Jesus is actually the definition of the righteousness of God? Now, as we remain in Christ, the Bible says we are also the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. It is only in Christ that we become the righteousness of God. What it means is that when people look at us, it is Samuel. When people look at us, we are the ones that spell righteousness of God. Yes, you go boy tini nini. Hey, nyami tini nini ya. Yes, shayen. If you say shayen, omu nyami tini ne. You are the righteousness of God. Then say in Christ Jesus. I don't know whether you understand it. Look at you. Look at the things you have been doing. The way you have been. But the Bible says you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. The righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So if you want to know how righteous God is, if you want to know how righteous God is, look at us. Look at the believer. Isn't it amazing? The man that has the gift of righteousness is also the righteousness of God in Christ. It's also the righteousness of God in Christ. Let's read some scriptures. What do you think? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, the verse number 21. Then let's look at Romans 3, the verse number 21 to 24. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, the verse number 21. It says, for he had made him to be sin for us. Did you see that? The Bible is speaking. When the Bible is speaking, know that God is speaking to you. God is speaking to you. He had made him, and I've told that if it is the word of God, it's the will of God. If it is the word of God, it's the wisdom of God. If it is the will of God, it's the way of God. That's how we open the teaching today. For he has made him to be sin. So you see the wisdom of God here. Hey, you took Jesus and you made him sin. Wisdom in display. Okay, act it. Let's see what happened. Who knew no sin? And that's why I'm confused. The guy doesn't know a sin. Why do you make him a sin? That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He knew no sin, but he made him to be sin for us, that we may become what? The righteousness of God in him. This is glorious. This is glorious. When you give your life to Jesus today, and you die today. You make heaven today. Now, this is why you must understand that the book, listen to me, the book of life, the Bible, when you talk about the book of life, in the Bible, there are a lot of books. Eh? And the book of life, we have, it's not only one. Now, the book of life is not a book that when you get born again, then they write your name inside. When you get born again, they write your name inside. I want you to understand this. The Bible said that Jesus died for all of us. Is that not it? He died for everyone. Now, one thing I want you to understand is that any human being who will be born on this earth, his name is in the book of life. Whether born again or not born again. From any human being who will be born, listen, who will be born till and who is alive, everyone's name is in the book of life. But not everyone who is dead has his name in the book of life. Now, this truth must encourage you to live right. We were taught from Sunday school that when you get born again, then the God will write your name. So, certain way, leading people in salvation said, write my name in the book of life. No! Your name is already there. When you fail to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior, then what happens? You are deleted and you are about to die. And when you die, then you are deleted from what? The book of life. So the deletion takes place when you die unrighteous. But as long as you are still alive, your name is still there. And that is what makes God, that is what makes God just. So when Jesus came, do you know what he said? He said, I have come to fulfill that which was written, which is written about me. So everybody has a record, what you're going to do, the life you're going to live. Everything is written in the book of life. This is, you see, when you understand some of these things, then it triggers prayer spirit. That is why we talk about discovery of what? Purpose. It is not when you get born again, then God begins to write, okay, Satri, okay, you do this, you preach the word of God, you read it, it is written. He said, it is written of me. That which is written what? Of me. It is written. Jesus told the devil, he said, it is written. It is written already. It is done. So you need to discover what is written about you. He told Jeremiah, he said, before I formed thee in thy mother's womb, I knew you. I ordained you. This is what I designed. I have written Jeremiah, Matthew, book of life. He said, oh, you're a prophet. Obey. The question I'm asking you today is that, Ima, what is written about you? Do you know? You see, if you are sensitive to what is written about you, man of God, you will not live anyhow. This truth, believing and receiving this truth, is enough to stir up strong intimacy with you and God. Lord, what am I supposed to fulfill? Today, what is today's date? 22nd of October, 2024. Lord, you wrote something about me. As I have woken up today, I don't know what's written. Father, show me. And that's why Jesus said that when you pray, say, and give us our daily bread. Why did he say it? He said, my bread is to do the will of him that sent me. So Jesus was literally saying that to wake up every day, ask for the will of God about your life. Ask. Because something is written about you. Can you imagine? For the past 26 years, you have never asked God this on a single day. So which life have you lived? What have you fulfilled? This is what makes judgment important. Because something is written. The Bible said that, and without law, there was no what? Sin. The introduction of the law brought sin. If nothing is written not to do, and you do it, it's not a sin. But you are true. You say, whoa, Obe Bambe, also buy us a member football. Was it Jinaha? If you have fear, may throw say Bambe. Was it Mikobo football? Nanangopon, Mikobo football, me, we need 5 shots. Or say, oh, Bambe. Now, my plan is, maybe we need 1,000 Waha. But took a ball. You see, sometimes it is not every good thing that is right thing. And that must be understood. It is not every good thing that is right thing. Lord, what is written about me? What is written about me? Psalm 11, the verse 2. Lord, what is written about me? He said, for lo, Psalm 11, 2. Psalm 19, verse 2. That's good. That's good. 19:2. He said, day unto day, what happens? Utters what? Speech. My activeness, my expressing, my communications, my manifestation is in the day. But in the night session, it is for the accumulation of knowledge. So by the time the day breaks, I know who I am. I know what I'm out there to manifest. Day after day, utterance speech. But night unto night showeth what? Knowledge. Lord, what is written? Father, what am I supposed to do? 25th of October, 2024. I have never seen this day before. The Bible says that we should not be concerned about the day. For enough trouble is full. Every day is full of enough trouble in itself. Father, but your word says you shall provide for us. Lord, my daily bread for today. Let me discover. Let me fulfill. Give me the grace to walk accordingly. Sensitivity to follow the tiniest of your voice. Pray prayers like this. Otherwise, remember how saying, forgive me. Lord, give me. Lord, forgive me. Say, you are not a master of the word of what? Righteousness. Sometimes we do many good things and we think it is right. Can I ask you a question? I went to Bethsaida with Jesus. Can you believe it? And when we got to Bethsaida, Jesus chose to heal. Before we were going, it was told that that pool has a lot of sick people around it. But when we go there, this Jesus that is said about him in the book of Acts, chapter 10, the verse number 32 or 35, that he was anointed not with oil, but with the Holy Ghost. And he went about doing good, healing the sick and cast out. Got there and healed only one guy and walked away. I went there and I healed everybody. Me and Jesus, who is more righteous? Who has done well? So this is how men thinks. Men, this is how we think. But in the court of God, what is written about you is what he will judge you with. It was written that he should deal with that lame guy. I don't know his name. Set him by the pool of Bethsaida. And he did just exactly. He said, I have come to fulfill that which is written about me. So to do that which is written about him is the right way to go. We have not been called to do good. We've been called to do right. So the world may not understand us. If you say you heal the sick and you have come to town, if you say you raise the dead, there's a mortuary here. Go there. The world may not understand us. That is not our call. I have come to fulfill that which is written about me. I have come. So sometimes I get worried. Ah, Jesus. Many sick people, and you could only heal one person. Why? Why will you do that? Didn't you see others? Certain blind man. It is the same way we come to church and it can go through, and before you realize, man, please come in the realm of the spirit. I see God carrying you. Meanwhile, this sister is here, but God has passed here. Forget, tell about him. He's dealing with this one here. Is God righteous? Are you see righteous? Is God okay? Let's start it. Is God fair? But the unfairness of God proves the righteousness of God. It is wiser to think like God. Listen to me very careful. This statement is so important. It is wiser to think like God than to force your thoughts on God. Many a time, we force our thoughts on God. and we blame him for not doing as he claims. Why did you let my mother die? That's your thoughts on God. He said, for my ways are not your ways, because what? My thoughts are not your thoughts. I thought he was going to say, my ways are not your ways, because your thoughts are not my thoughts. But I said, for your ways are not my ways, because my thoughts are not your thoughts. It went like this, and it came like this. My thoughts are not your thoughts. So before the ways of God will be my ways, his thoughts might be my thoughts. So don't force your thoughts on God. What you don't understand about God, that is not your thought. Look for what he's doing. Follow it. And when it comes to following God, listen to me very careful. When it comes to following God, one of the most moments you get heavy load results is when you don't understand what he says do, but yet you do it. For example, kill Isaac and then you go ahead. Does it make sense? God is not committed to make sense. I say God is not committed to make. He is committed to make what? Wisdom. He's committed to make righteousness. He's committed to make, divine wisdom. You are waiting, and God, does it make sense? Why should I have 22,000 and say I should pay? You know, I'm owing this. My life bill is here. I say God is not committed to make sense. Don't force your thoughts on God. Don't force your thoughts on God. Assess certain things of God doesn't make sense. He's not committed to make sense. There are three kinds of wisdom. We have common sense, we have divine wisdom, we have satanic wisdom. God is not committed to make sense. He works in divine wisdom. That must be understood. Is it all right for a senior prophetess to be barren while a little girl, a teenage girl, committed to marry a guy, gets pregnant with a savior? The prophetess Elizabeth and Mary, who would have taken care of Jesus well. I say God is not committed to make sense. Don't force your thoughts on God. So let's read this last scripture then. I know that I ended somewhere. Romans 3, the verse number 21 to 24. The subject matter is on righteousness. Romans 3, verse number 21, 24. He said, but now the righteousness of God. I love it. The righteousness of God without the law is manifested. Being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Move on. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith. So I told you, I can't talk about righteousness without what? Faith. By faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. I've explained it, true or false. For there is no difference. Roll on. Roll on, please. For there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Then the verse number 24 says, being justified freely by his grace, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Isn't it beautiful? Pick it again. Let's look at it again. Look at the picture well. Verse 21. But now, the righteousness of God without the law is manifested. Being witnessed by the law and the prophets. The righteousness of God without the law is manifested and is being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Then the next verse says that even the righteousness of God, which is by faith. So it is not that which the law, Moses declared, neither the ones that the prophets said, but that which is declared by faith. The faith of Jesus Christ unto all, unto who? All, and upon all them that believe. That's why I told you that everybody's name is in the book of life, because he has died for all. So when you believe, your name remains. If you don't believe and you die, your name is deleted. Your name is deleted. And in heaven there is the book of works. Say, and the books shall be open, not the book. The books shall be open. The day you stand before the throne of judgment, the Bema throne, there are two major thrones which we are awaiting in the end. The Bema throne and then the white throne. Anybody that appears before the white throne will never make heaven. The white throne is not for believers. The white throne is to tell you or ask you why you didn't believe in Jesus. But the Bema throne, the Bema seat judgment, the word Bema is like Olympic judgment throne. And at Olympic judgment throne, it's not there we are going to tell whether you came for the Olympic or you didn't come for the Olympic. It is how did you perform on the field? On your cap, near my certificate. So the Bema, the medals, the Bema throne judgment is where we are going to ask you, hey, I gave you a good church, gave you opportunity. I gave you the ability, the knowledge. God will judge everything. He will judge you, not your knowledge, the things you know, the schools you went, the opportunities you had, the giftings you had, the times you had, something you understood, the hardest they understand. He will ask, see, to whom much is given, much will be required. The word, you see, in mathematics, forget about the word much. If I say much, it is plenty. But in mathematics, replace much with X. To whom S is given, S will be required. That means that the equal requirement of whatever was given you will be the order. So to whom a wife is given, an excellent wife will be required. To whom an excellent husband is given, an excellent husband will be required. To whom a good church is given, and a good church will be required. So whatever God committed to you, he will come and ask of you. He's come and ask it of you. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? To whom ability to design is given. Now, you'll be surprised. To whom ability to teach is given. It will be required. Why did you need to teach my people? Why did you need to sing since you knew how to sing? I anointed you to do that. Why didn't you sweep? Why didn't you? My Lord, I was married. Hey, don't let your husband block your blessing. Why have you stopped the choir? My Lord, my God. They used to talk about me too much. I decided to stop so that I said, Messiah, to whom much is given, much will be required.
Mercy on me.
Have you forgotten? Blessed are they who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. What is righteousness? Manifesting what has been given me. I'll be given the gift to sing. I mean, the choir are talking plenty about me. I've decided not to stop because that's my calling. It is righteousness to work on that. And they are persecuting me. Blessed am I.
Wow.
Blessed am I.
Wow.
Blessed am I.
Wow.
Oh, Pastor, to whom X is given, X is required. To whom Z is given, Z is required. To whom M is given, M is required. To whom U is given, to whom C is given, to whom H is given, to whom much is given.
What a blessing.
Today, you almost say, oh, yes, physiologist. Now, you almost say, oh, yes, psychologist. You're smart. Ubo beat. You'll be shocked. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. What a blessing. The word of God is sweet. It's nice. It's blessing my soul. It's blessing my soul. I have been blessed teaching this word. In fact, I have even understood it from another dimension. So, the Lord bless you. In Jesus' name. Amen.